The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 1 to 11, and this can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1153. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Roger. And good morning to you, whether you're here in person or listening to this online at some point. So the title this morning of our service and this talk is Spirit-Filled Worship, Playing Your Part. Playing Your Part. And a pivotal verse, which Roger has just shared, is verse 7. Now to each one, to each of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And to illustrate this, I'd like, if we could, just to listen to a short extract from a choral piece of music. So, thank you, Peter. Ask you who wrote that, because it was written in 1567 by Alessandro Striggio. And Debbie and I heard this actually in Malvern Theatres a few weeks ago. It was heavenly. It's a mass, and the question I will ask you is, how many parts were there? How many people were actually singing different parts or playing different tunes on their instruments? Have a guess. 100. Thank you, Heather. Down a bit. 40, 16. In fact, there were 60, 6-0. And it was absolutely amazing. Each instrument or each voice, and there were eight individual choirs, each with their own orchestral part, making up this beautiful work of worship to God. Each one leading, as it were, to the overall joy of this Spirit-led work. And after 18 months where we and fellow Christians around the world have been struggling to engage in full-on worship, we're reflecting in this current sermon series on some of the issues that arose in the church in Corinth as they grappled with what it meant to have Spirit-filled and Spirit-led worship in challenging times, and how individually they might be involved. And Paul knew, and this is why he wrote the letter, that people in the Corinth church were becoming hierarchical, with some followers seeing themselves as having super spiritual, special gifts. And he knew that if this way of thinking continued, then the work of God, the outworking of the kingdom, the symphony, as it were, of God, would be out of balance, out of tune with his kingdom purposes. And yet, in an orchestra, we sometimes find there's also a hierarchy. I'm sure the people who play first violins see themselves as somewhat superior to the poor old triangle or timpani player. And so Paul is setting out in this chapter his answer to the growing belief that some people were indeed spiritual and some gifts were spiritual. So he starts by setting out the bedrock of faith, the bedrock of our faith, by saying that even though some people claim to have spiritual experiences, unless they were able to say, Jesus is Lord, those experiences were not inspired by the Holy Spirit and were not Christian. And today, proclaiming Jesus is Lord, for us, is the bedrock, in a sense, our declaration of faith. Jesus is Lord and Saviour. Now, the word gift was used several times in the reading, and the Greek word which Paul uses is a quite unfamiliar word, not used very often, but it will be familiar to us, the word charismata, which of course comes the English translation charismatic, and it's often translated as gift or gifts. And Paul says that because these gifts are flowing directly out of God's grace, nobody can claim them as their own possession or a product of their own innate talent. They always remain as divine grace gifts. And what are these gifts? These grace gifts? These charisms, as it were? Now, we're not talking about fruits of the Spirit. If you remember in the foyer, there's a beautiful tapestry thing out there with love, kindness, goodness, and so forth. And that's the fruits of the Spirit. We're talking here about gifts of the Spirit given directly by the Spirit from God to enhance our worship in our church setting. And these are all Spirit-inspired, and, you know, wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith. I love that, don't you? Faith, the fact that, in a sense, we haven't got to work at it so much as be gifted it. I find that really comforting, a gift of faith. Healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, authenticating that prophecy, speaking in different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of those tongues. And Paul says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, Lord and God. He goes on to say that there are different kinds of gifts, charisms, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Can you see there? Spirit, Lord, God. And this becomes, again, one of the key texts for theologians in exploring the meaning of the Trinity and how that works in our lives. And Paul, he then, as it were, bookends the reading with a fundamental point that it is the Spirit which works in every single Christian, as the Spirit so chooses. Okay, so it's a kind of really interesting here. No single Christian receives all those gifts, but each and every follower of Jesus was and is empowered by the Spirit for ministry, which builds up the whole worshipping community. That's us. We're not talking about some far distant thing here. We're talking about us. It translates today in exactly the way it was meant then. So if we just return, as it were, to this orchestral theme for a moment. Firstly, do you consider yourself part of God's orchestra, God's choral society, as it were? Do we each feel to be members, as it were, of a worshipping body? Or do we consider our faith to be a very personal thing, a spiritual experience, perhaps for our own edification, our own personal growth? Because if that's all it is, we're not part of the orchestra. We're kind of out there in the foyer with our tin whistle. Sorry, Judy, she plays a tin whistle. I'll think of a different instrument, a drum. Yeah. Paul, he says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That was our translation. The New Living Bible says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. The Contemporary English Version, the Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. And the Message says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everybody benefits. So it's very clear, isn't it, that these spiritual gifts are for everybody. Each one, the manifestation, each one of us. So if we are involved, we are part of this orchestra, what instrument, as it were, what spiritual instrument might we be playing? Is it the spiritual trumpet of wisdom or knowledge? Is it perhaps the clarinet of faith? The harp of healing? The timpani of miraculous powers? The flute of prophecy? And bear in mind, we're not necessarily talking about forecasting the future, but speaking a message that originates from God. Or the trombone of tongues, speaking different languages, the horn of interpretation. Do you know, when I'm going to show something of my personal sort of grief now. When I was at primary school, we used to have an orchestra, so-called orchestra, which basically comprised of all the children at one end of the hall, teachers piling all the instruments up at the other end of the hall, saying, go. Kids all rushed up to their end and grabbed the instrument. Now, there were four drums, okay? Four drums at the end. I was always taught by my mum to share and be kind. I never got the drum. I know. I always ended up with a triangle. I mean, truly, you know, I felt pitiful standing there going ding every now and again. And I did envy the kids that sort of rushed up and bullied and grabbed the drum. Probably why I gravitated to playing the congas now. But I don't know why I put that in. What's that got to do with anything? I don't know. Oh, I know, yes. Sorry, I was overwhelmed by personal grief there. The point is, it's not a question of grabbing a gift. It's not a question of rushing up and bullying somebody because you want the big gift, you want the loud gift. It's God, it's the Spirit who gives us that gift. So metaphorically, you know, the Spirit would have given me the drum. Oh no, I'm getting a bit, you know. Anyhow, over the next few weeks during this sermon series, different preachers and leaders will be opening up what these specific gifts actually mean. But today we're looking at the sort of foundations whereby we can see that these gifts are essential to building up each of us and as a congregation, as the worshipping body of Christ. And it is interesting, isn't it, when you look at those gifts of faith, healing, prophecy, tongues, and you were to ask the average Christian in an average church, you know, to what extent these gifts play an active role. Be interesting, wouldn't it? Because I suspect for many churches, these aren't things that are actively used on a week-by-week basis. Not always true, and not even true of this church, because, I mean, some years ago, we used to always have a little team in the vestry praying before a service, praying for a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a picture from God. And these were usually shared during the service. And maybe we should talk to the leadership team in the PCC about doing that again, because it can be powerful and we need to use these gifts. And Dave is always saying, one of his phrases is, what is God doing in this situation or that situation? And that's another way of saying effectively, who senses here God's prophetic word for a situation? So we are trying in a way to engender the use of these particular gifts. But we need to be open and we need to be expectant. And of course, these gifts can be used not just at the front, but in quiet corners of prayer. You know, faith can be gifted and granted and help support people whose faith is wavering or has been shattered by life's capriciousness. Healing and prophecy, I've seen it here. More difficult to understand and authenticate. But, you know, the Spirit is at work. Sometimes we need to be more aware. And for Debbie and I, before we moved to Malvern, we had an example of prophecy where we knew we were coming to this area. We didn't know where. We'd given up our jobs, and we were kind of, more than apprehensive. We were anxious, and we were in Basingstoke, of all places. I mean, you know, I didn't realise God actually went to Basingstoke, but he did. And we were at this church with some friends, and after the service, Debbie was just standing around looking at something or other, and this woman came up to her and said, hello, are you a visitor? And Deb said, yes. And she said, I see you're struggling. And she just seamlessly went into this word from God. And she said, I see you're struggling. You're trying to read a book and you can't work out what the next chapters are. She says, but the future is bright. It has colour. And she went on to describe things that would happen. And they have. And she said, finally, which puzzled us, she said, and don't worry about your health. Well, I hadn't up to that point. You know, if you Google something like an illness, you know, I'm developing the symptoms as I read it. So we went away anyhow. And Debbie was, I mean, we were both hugely moved by this prophecy. I mean, it was incredible. It all came to pass, including, I have to say, the health. We were both quite ill at one point, but we recovered fully from those particular illnesses. You know, God was at work in this woman, a stranger, never seen her. She had a word from God. She bravely spoke it out. And it gave us such sustenance, such hope. It was incredible. At a life group, here in Malvern, in our living room, we had a healing, a miraculous healing. Didn't we, Chris, Norma and Ian? We did. We had a miraculous healing. One of our members had a profound back issue, and we were praying, and she was healed. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I was doing the praying, and you could have knocked me over with a feather. I didn't expect it to work. Honestly, I didn't. And it's not my power. That's the point. It's not my gifting, my special words, my formula, creating some kind of spiritual, you know, vortex. No, the Spirit just came in and graciously healed this woman. It's been something I've never and will never forget. I even had a prophetic word at a PCC meeting. Come on. That is surely God, you know. Basingstoke and a PCC. We need to be open. We need to be aware. We need to recognize spiritual gifts when they are offered. Or maybe we just overlook them in our busy daily lives. And how must God feel about that? Look, those listening, I'm holding up a lovely parcel, a gift. Do you know who that's from? Father Christmas. Thank you, Deborah. Very helpful. It's not Father Christmas, the Holy Spirit. I'll just leave it there, shall I? It was given to me, actually. It was a gift given to me by the Spirit in 1987. So, yeah. Lovely, isn't it? Can't really hear what's inside it. Maybe one day I'll open it. Maybe I'll die and then I'll say to God, what was in that parcel? Or maybe I will open it. And I won't use it. You understand the point I'm making here? You know, if a gift is given, you know, if your best friend, your partner, somebody you love gives you a present and you go, oh, thank you very much. What's for dinner? You know, that is effectively rejecting the gift. We don't want to reject God's own gift. So we can see that here, and in next week's chapter 12, we'll be following on from this, where we talk about, you know, how can a foot say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. You know, we are all part of this body of Christ. And even though in the school orchestra at primary school I played the triangle, I was still part of the orchestra. I didn't like the Russian grab style of choosing an instrument. And in this passage we see yet again that God is gracious. His Spirit hands out the gift. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. The Trinity at work in us. And so it's a short reading, really, but it's packed, isn't it, with teaching and relevance for us today. And it's quite profound when you understand that there's this huge plethora of gifting available for us if we choose to accept it. The Spirit generates faith in Jesus into every believer. No one's gift is more important than another. Spiritual gifts are determined and granted by the Spirit. They're for the benefit of all of us, our worshipping community. And each and every one of us is offered the opportunity to receive a charismatic spiritual gift. All we have to do is open the parcel and use it. So to finish, I'm going to pray the first verse of a song that we'll sing in a moment. And then I'll play again that clip, Peter, if you're still awake. Yeah, good man. Play again that clip from the Mass. And as you listen, ask the Spirit just to guide you about what your gift might be and how you might use that for the worship life of our church. So let us pray. Come, set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we are made. Come, set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us.